Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my friend Sean Cannell. Sean, I'm so pumped to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Dude, I am so pumped to be on the podcast for a second time.
Yes.
Love this podcast. Love what you're doing, and excited to be connecting again.
Yeah, so since we've talked, you are now a full-time YouTuber. Can you talk about what does that mean to be a full-time YouTuber, and what are you doing on YouTube?
You know, that's a great question, and it's something that my parents still have no idea about. They say, you do what, and how do you make money? But I think, you know, like anything, I'm a teacher. And so I kind of discovered that my experience in life was in video production that started in the local church in a youth ministry. Eventually, I was a marketing director of a church in Las Vegas. So doing social media, doing video, and doing email marketing, and doing all those kinds of things. During that whole time, I was putting that content online. I was just sharing my answers with people. I was posting it online, how to get better lighting, or what camera should you pick out, or even social media tips on a channel called Think Media TV. And eventually that just grew on the side. It just was growing, and we just kind of made some side income there, and it started to get bigger and bigger and bigger. So we really felt, as well as not just getting advice from our pastors, but even that God was kind of calling us to go out and really be in the world and influencing culture in a certain space. YouTube is that space for me, and that's definitely where my passion is. And I view myself along as just someone who resources and helps creatives, individuals, churches, businesses, personal brands, but also really a digital missionary, because I think that believers should be in all aspects of the world, right? Salt and light in all these different places. And so that's kind of where we found ourselves today on YouTube and doing it full time. It's been a fun journey, and it's just more and more kind of doors. This space is so new. It's still starting. And so it gets me really excited, because I think that it's a huge opportunity for everybody, but especially the local church.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I still remember probably 7 years ago, the first YouTube video I saw of you interviewing William Vanderblumen and Tony Morgan. And I mean, one, the quality was unbelievable. The conversation was so engaging. And then following your journey since then. So it has been a blast watching you, and then taking some of your courses online, YouTube for churches, I remember, you know, digging into. But I appreciate the influence you've had and how you basically learned out loud. As you've learned, you've shared that with so many church leaders, and then obviously even beyond the church. So I love it. So here's, you know, there's so many reasons I'm excited to have you on the podcast, and I love just catching up. But I am starting a vlog. I'm trying to get into the world of vlogging. I believe that pastors should consider vlogging. I would love your advice on why I should or shouldn't, or why a pastor should or shouldn't consider vlogging.
Yes, I love that. Well, I think maybe just first to define for the audience, you know, what vlogging is, and Neil's asking in a second, you know, what you're envisioning. But what I think it's actually a term that's very well understood and very misunderstood. And so vlog, for everybody listening, essentially short for video blog. And one way to interpret that term was actually when people, instead of blogging, they kind of just brought content on YouTube. And so maybe instead of sharing 5 tips for how to organize your closet, they made a video blog sharing 5 tips for how to organize your closet. However, I believe for this conversation, what we're really referring to is kind of this new media genre called vlogging, which is a lot more of like a day in a life. It's really first person filmmaking. And you're taking people through your day or showing them behind the scenes. And so, Nils, is that what you're going to be creating? And you're thinking a little bit more in those terms of what would be a daily vlogger, or maybe a few times a week as kind of a lifestyle vlogger. What's your vision?
Yeah, great question. So my vision is basically to take my blog, which I've been doing for about 8 years, where I've been learning out loud through things like top 5 ways to use Instagram for your church, and transitioning that to the vlog while also establishing some personal connection through, here's my life as a dad, as a, you know, living in New York, having a tiny little office corner in my kid's room, you know, like this is my life, but here is me as a social media guide to you. So I see it kind of a little bit of personal and a lot of professional from a coaching standpoint is how I'm seeing it for myself. But I'd love your insights and thoughts, as you know me, which how you would coach me.
I love that. Well, so that the next question that I think becomes for anybody that's going on YouTube is the two most important questions I think that comes to a church, a business, a personal brand doing YouTube. And that is, who is your target audience and what is your value proposition for them? And so really, however the content takes shape and takes life on a vlog, I think it's important to understand who exactly it is you're trying to reach with that, and also who you are not trying to reach with that. Because if you try to reach everybody, you end up reaching nobody. Yep. And so clarity is power in that space. And so if we're speaking to how you could start a vlog, it sounded like a lot of professional stuff with a touch of maybe behind the scenes in your life. And I think that's a good mix. Because the value proposition, I would imagine, is that, or your target audience, is people who want to learn some of the things that you're doing, learning about digital, learning about social. And so it's people who would be interested in that. It also would be people who are already consuming online content. Of course, you could probably try to convince somebody who doesn't watch YouTube or spending time on social media to be there, but that's unlikely. It's kind of like trying to get someone to buy a book or read a book when they don't buy or read books. Like, that's just not your target audience.
Yep.
And so it's knowing that that's what they're there for. And then you have that value proposition, which is kind of your promise. And I think a powerful, actionable tip there would be to even have a tagline or a sentence that you always say in your videos that just say what you're doing and kind of why you're doing it. So I think a mutual friend of ours, Alejandro Reyes, is a good example for listeners to check out. Him and his family are vloggers, but they're showing family stuff. So they're showing their kids and their life, and they're showing work and sharing a little bit of their struggles and behind the scenes. And his value proposition, though, is more like family is everything. And they actually have an intro video. So there's the hook in the beginning of the video. And then they just have this little tag video that kind of just pitches the vision of their channel. And they say, you know, we're sharing our daily lives with you to inspire, to provide hope, because we believe that family is everything. And so there's kind of a message, there's a why wrapped into it. So as you're watching the episodes, you can kind of see what they're doing, why they're doing it, and why you would potentially be interested in it. So that's definitely what I would do as a vlogger. I would set out to really define, you know, who your audience is, what's your value proposition. And then I would just start and do what is amazing about these new forms of media is we don't have to create content in the dark. It's an active experience online where the community is engaged. So the way you actually start something doesn't probably necessarily even going to be what it ends up, what it looks like when it's 6 months down the road or even a year down the road. So these are some good kind of guiding principles to launch. But then I think listen to the comments, try to engage with your audience the most, who are the people who watch the closest, and think about how they could potentially shape the content. I think that's how most things end up becoming something strong, is that you launch quick and then you make tweaks along the way to improve it.
That's great. That's great. So, and I think one of the main struggles that a pastor is going to come to is just like I always heard with social media 5-6 years ago, is nobody cares what I ate for breakfast. You know, I don't really have anything to say. If you were to coach a pastor, what would you say is maybe a good standard place to start with? Here's what I have to say with, and the idea being, you know, I want to engage people in my community and just be, I want to engage people in my local community so that they will come to my church with that being the goal.
100%. So this topic, I don't know if I've ever been as excited about this, any topic before. I think it's so profound, and not to even overhype this, I think it could be life-changing for people that are listening. Yeah. Because first of all, I think that just this idea of pastors having kind of a vlog, a little bit more, like we mentioned with Alejandro Reyes, a little bit more of a lifestyle, a little bit more showing their life, is one of the biggest opportunities that exist in the year that we're living in for local churches, because I still feel like it's white space, that no one has really done it and has stayed consistent with it. And so I think if it's somebody listening feels passionate about doing that, I think they should do it. Here's why. At the end of the day, the mission of the local church is to make disciples. The Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples. And hey, basically pass along all this stuff that I just taught and show people not just some information, but like transformation, like how to live, like a lifestyle, It's not just doctrine. It's something that should touch our lives. And this actually conversation is something that influenced me years ago to get on YouTube in the first place. Mm. And so friends of mine, Benji and Judy Travis, have been vloggers for years now, over a million subscribers. They live in the Northwest, great friends. And then Benji and I have a project together called Video Influencers. But it was actually back when I first met them, when they only, quote unquote, only had around 150,000 subscribers on YouTube, but much smaller than it is today. And what I realized at that time is, like, light bulbs were going on. I want to say this is around 2009, where I thought, okay, at this point, Judy was vlogging daily and maybe getting 30,000 views a vlog or 50,000 views. And now it's much higher. And she's just showing her regular life for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, for 30 minutes, sometimes longer episodes. And what occurred to me was, I thought, wow, even some of the churches and pastors of the largest churches are sharing a sermon on the weekend that's 30 minutes, maybe an hour. Yep. To talk about, you know, all the things in culture. Like, yep. These people have been, we're going throughout their week, all week long, with the pressures, the drama, the stresses, the yep. influences of culture. Yep. And in a local church, we hopefully get them for 30 minutes to shape, mm-hmm. you know, the worldview, to share biblical principles, maybe another hour in small group, if you're lucky, mm-hmm. and maybe another dimension of ministry for, like, the top 10% of the church that's plugged into a few different things. Whereas I was like, wow, my friend Judy is actually showing people how to live. Yeah. Like, she is influencing people on a daily basis and showing them how they raise kids, how they get through conflict in their marriage, how they treat each other, how, you know, what their eating habits are like, what, you know, just lifestyle, which ultimately is at the heart and the core of Christianity in our faith. Yep. So when you talk about the concept of a pastor vlogging, I think it's one of the most compelling, mm-hmm. important things that local churches really begin to pay attention to. And the tweak I would make there with what you said is, I think, of course, what pastors think. All pastors want to get people in the seats. They want to grow their church. Yep. They want to reach new people. But I would think that the vlog could do that. But again, let's go back to that question of defining the target audience. I think where it should start is actually with your local church, with your current tribe, your current audience, yep. and the content should be shaped so as to, you know, the biggest question is, well, how does the pastor live? Like, yeah. you know, I hear the message on the weekend, but, like, I, you know, my wife and I can't seem to work through this stuff, you know, like, yeah. we're still fighting or whatever it is. And a vlog, it has the ability to really just show people and not just tell. And Nils, if we're honest, that's one of the highest forms of leadership, right? Yeah. There's a lot more things that are caught rather than taught. And a vlog opens up the door for that. However, there's the huge, I think, problem, if we can just speak to the elephant in the room here, is that fundamentally, and I think I'm encouraged by what's happening in a lot of churches, but that fundamentally Christian media in general has suffered, whether that's Christian films, Christian music, Christian social media has suffered, because as Christians, we don't know how to do it. And what we do is we think things need to be so sanitized. You know, they need to be, like, with Christian music, it sometimes becomes almost inaccessible and unrelatable because it's so covered in Christianese. It's so covered in, you know what I mean? Like, that is, I think, the fundamental problem here. And I don't have a good answer for that, because what's hard is that what we need to show is, I do think we need realness. We need authenticity. We need transparency. Yep. But then we also need boundaries. And so I don't really know how to walk that line. What we know,
yes.
is that what sells and what connects with people in media is drama, right? Mm-hmm. And yep. that's why some of the best reality shows are the most dramatic. But that's also why I think on the journey, a lot of Christian content has suffered, because we shouldn't really go there. I mean, it should not be, you know, a full on, hopefully, if it, you know, a pastor's vlogging and just showing that he's not living it and, you know, whatever,
yep.
that'd be the, that's one extreme. But then the question, and I don't know if I have a good answer, is how do you, though, share your struggle, and how do you show the trouble that you're having raising your kids, yep. and the reality yep. of that? One of the things that I respect and admire about Benji and mm-hmm. Judy is they walk a delicate line of actually showing Like, even if they get into a fight. Because what couple doesn't get in fights? But I think what the problem when we start vlogging is what we do is we just show our highlight reel and we don't show our blooper reel. And that's actually not what connects to people, though. It's realness. It's authenticity. It's transparency. You know, of course, we can have hope and optimism and faith on the journey. But what if we incorporate doubt? And what if we incorporate struggle? And as you know, when you have an elder board and when you've got, you know, people watching you, that's why I actually think it hasn't really been done yet or been done yet well, is because it's so hard for Christians to be Christians in the media because we feel like everything has to kind of be sugar-coated and faithenized. New words are being made up right now, but do you catch? So, I do.
So one of the things that I heard with Twitter when Twitter first came out is that it's such a narcissistic platform, and I'm sure you've heard that around vlogging. So if a pastor feels like, oh, people are going to think I'm such a narcissist by vlogging and doing a vlog about myself, how would you approach that? And at the end of the day, maybe it is narcissistic sometimes. How can a pastor manage that tension? I mean, you kind of spoke to it a little bit, but dig into that a little further.
Phenomenal question. You know, again, there's no like easy answers here. Here's the thing. If you not only start a vlog, but if it grows, you're going to get criticism.
Yes.
And so I think you'd need to be driven by two things. You'd have two fundamental things decided before you start one. Number one, that you see the value of it, and you really, you've thought it through, you've prayed about it, and you have decided, like Paul, to say, by any means necessary, I'm willing to become all things to all men so that I could reach some. And so that you really see it as, okay, I see this as a huge opportunity, using culture, using tools, using what's happening in media to reach people. Is it going to be misunderstood and probably judged wrongly? Because at the end of the day, while the behavior itself is inherently not narcissistic, the behavior itself, narcissism is a lot of times it's emotive, it's a heart issue. Right. And so anyone who's judging that, though, they could still judge the actions. It could appear lots of different ways, but just like Jesus was judged, a lot of his behaviors were misconstrued. He had criticism, especially from religious people, which are going to be the most vocal about calling a vlogger narcissistic, for sure. And so... so I think you need to have a really strong core conviction that you're in the right place, you're doing it for the right motives, you're doing it to not only reach people, but also to potentially create a greater depth of discipleship and modeling, you know, a biblical lifestyle and someone on the journey of faith in that vlogging format on YouTube or whatever platform. And then I think you have to then have a resolve to be able to explain yourself, but also at times like not really need to defend yourself. Yeah. Anybody, you know, who goes down a pioneer, a new path like that is going to experience probably criticism and is going to be misjudged. And I mean, let's be honest. The other angle is that it could be very narcissistic. I mean, if let's be honest at another level. Yeah. And as a pastor myself, having been a campus pastor and like a local on staff pastor, you know, we could be fair as pastors. Can we be honest, Niels? Pastors are a little narcissistic. Either way, one way, I mean, they just are.
Yes.
It's kind of about the numbers, and you try to get that perfect picture on the Instagram from the back of the room. The right side was empty, but you took it on the left side where the people were sitting, so it looked fuller.
Yep.
And you know, whatever. So that's kind of something that we have to deal with, anyways. I mean, that's a hard issue, I think. But it should never stop us. That's what's challenging about all these things. Is sometimes as Christians, we get sidelined and we are not in culture reaching people, actually taking risks, actually experimenting. You know, it'd be a lot better, I think, to, you know, potentially take a smart, calculated risk than to never do anything at all because of the possibility of it not turning out or, you know, being misconstrued or misunderstood.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Man, and as I'm just processing this, I'm thinking about church planners. If I'm a church planner, create a vlog all the way through the start. I mean, just one, documenting the launch of your church alone is so valuable. The emotions that you're going through with it, and then obviously the connections you can make before your church even launches, such a great opportunity. Okay, let's get practical with it. Most pastors are going to come, and I'm in this boat. I'm a tinkerer with video, and really my video camera is my mobile phone, and I've got a GoPro. But what gear should a pastor be thinking about? What are the kind of the technical side of things for the non-technical pastor that's wanting to get into vlogging?
I want to come right back to that, but I do want to say, because yep. just to drive home for anybody that wants to take action on this, you mentioned the church planner idea. Great idea. Yep. But defining that target audience is such a big deal. Yep. And here's why. The church planner ideas could have a couple different audiences, but I think you really should be focusing on one. One could be an encouragement to other church planners.
Yep.
But that yep. is going to be a different perspective, the way you're talking, the tips you're sharing, whatever it is. Yep. Then again, if it's for your local church yep. and what you're bringing up, maybe you could do both. But this, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. I've coached a lot of different YouTubers, a lot of different channels, yep. and that is so critical. So is it just even generally? Do you just want to live out your faith generally, kind of inspiring the masters who are curious about what a Christian life could look like? That would be an awesome vlog.
Yep.
Is it for yep. just your local church, showing how to live, raise your kids? Is mm-hmm. it for other church leaders? But I think knowing your target audience and not try, again, if you try to reach them all of a sudden it's confusing. And it's yep. not that church planners don't like it, because there's way too much stuff that's not about church leadership. People that don't know anything about church leadership, you got it, right? So, man, that target audience thing is so important. Technology-wise.
Okay, hold on. Let me pause on that question, because you started another question in my mind. So, staying on the practical boat, how long should an ideal vlog be? Like, should be 10 minutes, 20 minutes? And how often should you look to release a vlog?
So, number one, I would say start short, because the first thing that everyone doesn't have when they're just starting is any attention yet. They don't have an audience yet. Now, maybe you could send an email out to your list. You could tweet it out. You could let your church know. And there's kind of a core few people that might watch it. But what you always have to do when it comes to building anything online is you have to have influence first. Like, you actually have to have attention first. And so my friend Judy will vlog. At times, her vlogs will be 30 minutes. She's been doing this for 8 years.
Yeah.
She's won trust, built extreme depth and connection with her audience. So now she's speaking, you know, she's established. So I would never recommend somebody does that, because when someone's just checking it out, I would think quick, you know, a level of entertaining, a level of bite-sized is digestible. So I would say start small. And that also is a little more sustainable, because if you shoot all day and you try to edit 20-minute long video, it's going to be a lot longer. But 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 5 minutes is going to be easier. Also, there's been studies done, though, recently, that the new sweet spot of YouTube is 7 to 15-minute or 16-minute long content. Longer content, because YouTube actually wants longer content. However, yep. that doesn't mean bloat your content, double the length yep. with the content staying at the same level of value. It yep. shouldn't just be wasting time. And so that, I think, is something to work up to. But I think the best advice, too, for vloggers, yeah, start so that it's sustainable, because reality sets in quick with actually how hard this is.
Yeah.
So if we get into the practicality and the technical side,
yep.
I think two things. One, you know, a Canon G7X is a very popular camera. There's a Mark II version now. It's got a flip screen so you could see yourself, something you could walk around with. A lot of point and shoots would be sufficient, but that's definitely probably a great camera to go with. And you could pick that up for a few $100s, the first version, even refurbished or something like that. But the more practical side sets in with the learning curve of, and that's pretty easy camera to use. You can set it on auto, just point it at yourself, record, pretty good audio. But then the editing comes in. And so there's really two things here. You know, having been, while I was a campus pastor in Orange County, of a multi-site video venue church, what set in really quick, being that it was a full-time role, was my actions on YouTube were very minimized during that season, mm-hmm. as yeah. makes sense, because the day-to-day responsibilities, I think, of being a pastor, you know, are pretty all-encompassing. Yep. So if you did not already have some video editing experience, and I had been editing video my whole life, but almost 15 years, like since 2002. So I've been editing video for a long time. So I can edit fast. You know, to onboard that skill set, I think, would be pretty challenging for a lot of pastors. But I think the other thing that they have access to is potentially an intern, a staff member, someone to help, another family member. Take Alejandro and Sarah. She edits. So he shoots, but she edits. So it could be a teamwork thing. You know, Benji and Judy, Judy edits, but Benji vlogs as well because it's their vlog together. So is it another family member? Is it an intern? Is it a team member? That makes it a little more practical. And this is, I think, the fundamental issue with executing this well. And, you know, I tried to paint the big picture, like this could be a life-changing episode for someone listening. However, this is where I think it makes or breaks it, is patience and consistency. And what I mean by that, you said, how often should you upload? Once a week minimum. But here's what I would really recommend to people, that you would commit to do it for 24 to 36 months to see, to get traction, to build an audience, to test it out. So you're going to post at least a weekly video for 2 to 3 years, learning as you go, improving it, tweaking it to break through and really get traction. And Nils, that's where I've seen a lot of, because I have seen people launch stuff. I have seen some pastors do things for a few weeks. I've seen churches do things for a few weeks. But as you know, there's, you know, the internet is riddled, and so is the physical world, with a lot of unfinished projects and abandoned projects because we gave up. And I think we a lot of times gave up too soon. And so Jesus said, you know, count the cost of building the tower. And that's where this definitely takes work. And I think you'd need to see the value. Now, I think by setting it up with someone with a smart editing structure, you know, framework of like, how are we going to do this? When are we going to do this? I think the right system would also be a key to success. So you could say, how is this going to be sustainable? And I think thinking long-term and then reverse engineering what you're actually going to do based on thinking 2 to 3 years down the road is probably the best practice to make sure that it does become sustainable. So you wrap your mind and your energy and your emotions around the fact of, wow, there's going to be ups and downs and busy seasons and slow seasons. But I think the key to getting any message out online is consistency, and consistency over the long haul, because that's what builds a strong brand and lets people know you're serious. To be honest, you know, nobody will even notice for the first couple months. And then 6 months into it, people will be like, oh, it's probably a fad. And then 8 months into it, they might be like, wow, this person's serious. Like, there's really, and then a year and a half into it, now it's like your brand. Now it's like, wow, that's cool. Like, that's something you do. And then 2 years, you know what I mean? So it takes so long. And I think a lot longer than most people account for when it comes to this.
Wow. That is so good. I mean, there's so much there to it. And I want to encourage folks to go, you almost all of your YouTube videos are connected to this in one way or another, whether you're looking at cameras, devices, you know, tips and tricks to figure this out. But I think at the core is like, commit to this and do this, and you're going to figure out your workflow that works best for you. That inspired for me as I'm jumping into this world and trying to, because it's overwhelming, you know, as I think through, I got to capture this, I got to edit this, the workflow behind it. Let's talk now about distribution. You're a YouTube guy. You also distribute on Facebook. How should somebody get the vlog out there? Email list, do they tie in? How does distribution, what should they be thinking about when it comes to distribution of the vlog?
That's a great question. And it brings up a chance to reiterate the two fundamental truths that I hope everybody grabs. And that is, you got to know your value proposition and you got to know your target audience. And here's why, because when it comes to distribution, another reason why is, why should people watch?
Yep.
And so you really want to answer that question. And so yes, send an email, but what is the compelling reason that someone should stop what they're doing or schedule to go watch something later? And that always ties it back to that value proposition, you know, and this is where a lot of people miss out. So before you even distribute, you want to be thinking of compelling. This is the type of thing where this is why if you're writing a blog post, you spend so much time on the headline and the title of the blog post, because that it doesn't matter how good the blog is. Yeah. If the title wasn't good, and it's not clear and not compelling, not provocative, not interesting, well, then no one is going to actually click through to read the rest of the blog. So the same is true for a vlog. Is really, I think distribution starts with the content itself. It starts with kind of optimizing and reverse engineering the content all the way for like what you would say in that email. So for the checklist, though, absolutely. I mean, any social media platform you're active on, you know, hey, Twitter, we're starting a new vlog, you know. Yep. Here's why, and here's what you can expect. And then maybe I would also probably launch with maybe an explanation video. I mean, maybe one of the first videos you do. You know, in fact, it's, best practice is actually to ramp up to a launch. The same way you would ramp up to a launch of a digital product, I would actually seed and ramp up to the launch of the vlog, and I would launch with a why video, you know, starting with why. You know, and the reason we want to do this is because we just realized that sometimes – the weekend sermon, you know, is teaching, but I want to do more showing. Like, I wanted to take you behind the scenes. But that's also where it gets real. I mean, getting over the awkward, I know I'm drifting here a little bit, but even getting over the awkwardness, I mean, try to just flip a camera out, hold it to yourself and film yourself. There's going to be a learning curve. That's why maybe you don't even maybe start the first day, like maybe do some practices, you know, best practices. A lot of YouTubers, they will shoot and complete episodes that they never release for new YouTube channels so that they can test it, kind of do some focus groups. Not that everybody needs to do this level, but if you want to launch something strong, that's smart because you're trying to get your cadence, you're trying to find your voice. But yes, strong why, strong reason leading up to the launch, and then Twitter, Facebook, best practices of any social media platform. Naturally, if you want to drive traffic to YouTube, most platforms don't even want you to. So Facebook doesn't like that fact. So uploading maybe native videos, meaning they're uploaded directly to Facebook, that educates what you're doing over on YouTube. Nils, but here's a whole nother thought that I've also been fascinated by. I was recently at VidCon, which is the largest YouTube conference in Anaheim, California. It's about happening in the last 7 years, about 30,000 people, fans, creators, and industry professionals in the YouTube space go to Anaheim for this. And one of the fascinating things, it's been predominantly a YouTube conference, but it really focuses on all online video, was Facebook's presence at this last VidCon. They're rolling out an app that's dedicated for video creators. They're trying to compete at a level never been done before with YouTube. They're rolling out channels, playlists, better organization, discoverability for videos. So we want to talk about white space. One thing that a few people have done, but also this vlog could exist just on Facebook.
Yep.
It could be uploaded natively to Facebook. And that for the local church might be a better option or a better strategy. Or both, maybe different intro, different outro, or maybe the exact same episode, because YouTube does have a nature of search and discoverability to it. Mm-hmm. It could be finding new people, etc. But Facebook could be much more shareable amongst friends of friends. I know that churches, that is by far the number one platform they should be focusing on when it comes to social media that trumps other platforms. Thus, this could be, in this context, one of the maybe best place to do that. And then you're showing up in people's daily lives with micro content that could just be showing right up in their newsfeed.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I was at F8, Facebook's conference this year, and they shared that over 50% of all content consumed on Facebook now is video. They expect in 2 years that be over 70%. Now it's not 50% has been uploaded to Facebook, but that's what people are consuming. So what they're saying is that's what people are wanting. We need that. We're responding to that. And just as you're saying, YouTube wants longer form video. Facebook saying the same thing. They know it's shorter form video that's engaging right now, but they're trying to drive towards longer form video. So the trend is there. But I think it's generally not an either or, it's a both and situation. But you keep going back to the same thing, is know your target, and really be focused there. Sean, I could go on with this conversation for hours, but, is there any final thoughts you'd want to share with church leaders around this topic?
There's a few. You know, one thing that I think for any strategic endeavor and any project someone was considering about launching, phase number one, always, I believe, is get information and do research. So listening to this podcast is one of the first things, but here's the next few steps that I'd recommend people doing. Number one, I would recommend blocking some time on your calendar to actually study vloggers on YouTube predominantly, because that's where they are. Yep. And go into this without judgment, right? Because at the end of the day too, you know, as Paul would tell us, like, don't be surprised if you encounter some weird stuff or some, you know, crazy stuff. Again, sometimes as Christians, I think we always get shocked if sinners sin or something like that, right? It's like, right, that's the nature before Christ, right? So saying that, you might go into it like with a level of, wow, expect things to be weird, expect things to, you know, maybe be like, wow, I can't believe this, what's happening. Cause I have a few recommended channels. I think that also will give you a better pulse as a church leader and a pastor on just kind of what's happening in the digital space, but also even best practices. Cause I think we can pull out of what are the most successful vloggers of today doing? What are some of the things that are happening? So I recommend go check out, you know, Alejandro Reyes, that Reyes family on YouTube. Yeah. And you can see that's a great example as believers that are being salt and light on YouTube. I have other friends, you know, out there. Sam and Nia are some big Christian vloggers that have a great channel. There's actually surprisingly quite a few. And we can maybe, if there's show notes, I could send you a list of believers. But then there's also my Benji and Judy are Catholic, so you can check them. It's Judy's Life. That's a great vlog. Three daughters, seeing what their vlog looks like. And just what I would do is then take notes. You know, okay, this is interesting. And what you're just doing is you're thinking, what's the format? What's the style? How's it edited? How's it organized? And not feeling like it has to be that way, but maybe a touch of inspiration hits you. But then I would also look at some of the viral sensations right now. And one of them is named Jake Paul. And it's wild. It's just crazy what you'll see on his vlog, but it's a rate of growth that hasn't really been seen before. You'll definitely get into the psyche of the younger generation, even kind of earlier than millennials. Again, not as far as I could tell, you know, at all really a believer's perspective, but what some of the things there that I think are important is noticing the energy, noticing the editing, noticing, you know, clearly what they're doing is working, you know, as far as just understanding some of the best practices online. And I don't think that has to speak to, again, the content itself and whether those types of things. So research, you know, some vloggers. Yep. And then I would say also experiment, because, you know, if you're going to count the cost of building a tower, you could do a test project. You know, you have to say, I'm going to commit for the next 3 years, experiment a little bit, get some feedback, and then maybe go into like a kind of research and development phase and not feel like it has to launch fully, you know, full-fledged. And then, on our channels, you know, Video Influencers is a channel that Benji and I run together. And we actually have a whole series on vloggers, you know, probably about 20 or so videos where we've interviewed a few with their best practices and shared some of our best tips. And that's on Video Influencers. And then tech-wise, I don't think you need to worry about the tech too much. Vlogging, what's nice is pretty simple. It's, you know, it is kind of a handheld behind the scenes type of a thing. So Canon G7X or cameras similar. You could just search best vlogging camera. If we have a video on it, actually, best vlogging cameras. It's newer this year for every different price range. But a lot of times you can even just start with your smartphone. And so those, I think, would be the best next steps would be to go into research and development, study some of the vloggers out there, look at some of the video content that we have. And then the whole time be kind of journaling and making a game plan about how that could show up and be executed in your local church as a pastor, as a church leader. And Niels, might I add, I think that there's white space, just as you mentioned, for a church planner. Who's the worship director that's documenting and showing, you know, tips, but also showing the lifestyle and the struggle and the hard parts about doing that. And the kids pastor, that's a little challenging too. You can't really show kids. You can show your own kids. You're obviously not gonna be able to show others. Anyways, you know, getting into all the nuances. Yep. There's so many aspects, I think, about building up a vlog that could help someone who's in communications, someone who is on missions, and doing that in a consistent way. And one other channel to mention, my friend Justin Coe is also part of our academy and things like that. He has a channel called That Christian Vlogger, and he just went on a mission trip. So he was going through Rome and some different things, and he was having a different style where he does some teaching videos, like talking about biblical topics, Bible study type videos, but he also has some vlogging videos. So I'm sure in the show notes, we could give people tons of content to just kind of really wrap your head around this world and to be honest, as you venture into it, just be ready, because there'll probably be some shocks, some awes, some like, people watch this? Some, you know, I didn't know this existed. Yeah. And it's stunning how big it is, and yet also how it's still, you know, brand new. So I think that's why if you're listening to this and hearing this, there's a huge opportunity right now to jump on this, especially from a faith perspective.
Yeah, that is so good. We're going to have about 30 links in the show notes. So go to socialmedia.church, get those show notes. This is, Sean, and I apologize to all my past guests over the last 3 years. This is the best interview I've ever done on this podcast and the most valuable insights I think we've ever shared on this podcast. So I genuinely can't thank you enough for these insights. It's going to help me personally, but I know this is going to literally help hundreds of church leaders to engage in this new medium that can transform their impact through social media. So, Sean, thanks for doing that. How can people connect with you online?
Well, Nils, I just want to say I appreciate that. That means a lot. And I want to also just say, anybody listening to, you know, I'm deeply passionate about this subject, obviously, with my heart being YouTube and this concept of being YouTube missionaries. But I just want to encourage people, you know, we are on mission. Yeah. You know, Jesus has it's told us that we're in charge. Like he's like, hey, you guys carry this thing out, right? And keep planting churches, keep reaching people, keep making disciples. And I just think there's so many opportunities with these digital tools that culture is shifting. Attention is shifting to people's smartphones. You know, there's so much happening that there is just a huge opportunity. And I just want to encourage people to really jump on, but to be a pioneer and to take the risk because it won't be easy and it will be awkward and it will be misunderstood, but I really believe it's worth it because that's the point. At the heart of it, it's just like, I believe if my church history is serving me correctly, when Martin Luther started to take bar songs and turn them into hymns, people were outraged because they were thought, you know, you can't take something that is sacred and make it secular. And what we've learned, well, that's not true. I mean, that's kind of a religious perspective, but it reached people in this day and age and people became Christians and people started to follow Christ. So if that's at the center and that's at the core, I believe that's so important because that gives us the fuel necessary to push through misunderstanding, the hard work, the challenges. That's why I encourage people to really tap into these tools and to really keep listening to this podcast to get tips because social media is an ever-changing landscape. You know, and to be learning these best practices. But yeah, connecting with me, as I mentioned, Think Media on YouTube. That's the best tips and tools for helping you build your influence with online video. Video Influencers, weekly interview show with video influencers, as well as some tips that Benji and I share on YouTube, but also all online video. And then on Twitter, I'm very active, Sean Cannell, SEANCANNELL. If anyone had any questions or anything, I try to stay pretty consistent to just be a resource and help anybody with anything that they may need. But yeah, I think Nils, I'm so passionate that you brought me on because I share this stuff in a wider platform, but at my heart, as you know, a Christ follower myself, digital missionaries is like my core passion. Like those that are stepping out in these platforms, experimenting and being salt and light and being a city on a hill, in very uncertain, dramatic, interesting times that we're living in. I think it's exciting that we have the opportunity to spread the gospel in new and creative ways.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Sean. Thanks for taking the time and thanks for making this investment. If you want to learn more about the show, go to socialmedia.church, use the hashtag SMC podcast on Twitter or connect with us at any point or any way online. We are excited to connect and engage with you and look forward to hearing and connecting with you on the next podcast.